Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning again. We commit this room into your hands. We pray that you open our ears and our hearts to hear, to perceive, and to understand what the Spirit is saying to the church. Praise the Lord. And we thank you because the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Now let that light shine into our hearts and our minds this morning. I give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So today, we're just going to do sort of a roundup and a review from yesterday. Now, if you've been here the last several days since last week, we've been dealing on these fiery darts of the enemy that he will throw at us from time to time. And what God gives us as an antidote to these things. You know, we've covered several topics in this series. We've covered fear and anxiety. God gives us boldness and confidence instead. We've covered unbelief and doubt. God gives us faith and believing. Believing being faith with action. We've covered disobedience and rebellion. You know, God gives us obedience and submission. That's right. And we've covered yesterday pride and arrogance. And God will give us and grant us humility and lowliness instead. You know, so if you missed any or part of those lessons, we invite you to check out the replays. The Lord spoke a lot of things to us. As part of the, you know, Jesus said, you know, I am the good vine, you are the branches. My Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that is bringing forth fruit, my Father will prune so that it may bring forth even more fruit. Well, it's a pruning time. And the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, has been pruning, pressing us into a more accurate shape and more accurate likeness of Jesus. Even as he said, learn of me. I am meek and lowly. So today, I want to talk on the pride of life and spiritual pride. We mentioned these yesterday, and so I'll just do a, you know, a short roundup of this. You know, some things can be subtle. Some type of pride can be subtle. We dealt for an hour, almost an hour and 20 or more minutes yesterday on the subject of pride and arrogance. So everybody ought to already have that. You know, today I just want to focus a little bit on the pride of life and spiritual pride. You know, how these things may get in there. You know, some are sometimes very subtle, but it can also get in there. You know, 1 John chapter 2, with, you know, the Lord begins to admonish us to separate ourselves, our hearts, from the love of the world, basically. Love not the world, we are told, you know, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And that's a commandment. Now, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, basically, we're being told that the love of the world will consume your whole heart, and there will be no place for the love of God to be in you. So be careful now. Let's be careful. You know, love not the world and the systems of this world and the things that are in the world and the way they do things in the world. But let your minds be renewed constantly you know, by the Holy Spirit and also by the washing of water, the word, you know, as we listen to the Lord, listen to his word and read his word, meditate on it, you cleanse our hearts from all these things. Let your conversation, the scripture says, you know, let your way of life, let your thoughts, let your mind be on things in heaven and not on things upon the earth. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. The reason a lot of depression sets in many places is because people set their affection on things on the earth. And when those things are corrupted or taken away or what have you, then depression sets in. The things that are above are steadfast, unmovable. If you set your affection on those things, it shall be well with your mind. You know, the Bible even says the Lord will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Lord. When you stay your mind on the Lord, according to Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, the Lord will keep you in perfect peace. Now, you know, all of that is, you know, just said all of that and read those scriptures, also see that it's all in the mind. You know, it's all in the mind. And, you know, we've read these scripture many times in this room where the Lord is telling us, you know, be not conformed to this world. Romans 12 and verse 2. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Praise the Lord. So, back to 1 John 2 and 15. Well, we should not set our minds on the things of this world, but rather on the love of the Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You know, not part of it. Don't let the devil, the world, the flesh, or anything else take any part of your heart. Set your heart on the Lord fully. Now, for all that is in the world, 1 John 2 and 16, what are the things that are in the world? Well, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All of these things, he said, not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world will pass away, the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God will abide forever. Hallelujah. And it is the will of God that we love not the world, neither the things that are therein. Now, this one is an active commandment. We talked about during this series, 1 John 3 and 22, we've talked about that, you know, wherein we find that, you know, there is active obedience and also passive obedience. Active obedience is, you know, we keep his commandments. We ask, you know, say we ask anything, we know we will receive it of him because we keep his commandments. He has commanded and we are keeping. That's actively obeying. That's active obedience. Then there is passive obedience. You know, Jesus said it himself, John 8 and 29. My Father has not left me alone. He is with me because I do always those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's the passive obedience. Whether he has commanded something point blank or not, whether we know of a commandment or not, but we know that this thing is pleasing, we'll do it. We know it's not pleasing in his sight, and we don't do it. You know, even if we don't know of a commandment. You know, so we must both actively be obeying him and also passively. That's submission. You know, when we talked about obedience, that's the active. Even the passive goes into more of submission. Submit our will to the will of the Father. Now, what are the things, you know, that are constituted in the pride of life? I want to talk about the pride of life and spiritual pride. Well, you can think of the pride of life in so many ways. Some of it we mentioned briefly yesterday. Our position in life can make us, you know, knowingly or unknowingly to be proud. Our titles and things like that can make us to be proud. You know, the way people carry us, or, you know, people elevate us and so forth. I have to be careful. I'm going to be talking also a little bit today about spiritual pride. Even leader, you know, religious leaders need to be careful. What did Jesus say about, you know, the things that we, you know, the pride of life, you know, the things, you know, here's how Jesus called out the pride of life. He called it a different way. In Luke chapter 16, verse 15, this is the way Jesus talks against the pride of life. He says that things which are highly esteemed among men, those are the pride of life, you know, my position, you know, my money, my this and my that, my influence, you know, all these things that are highly esteemed among men, which can cause pride, you know, think you're better than somebody else because of advantage or because of position, or maybe because of education, or maybe because even some knowledge which we have, which the Bible says knowledge puffs up. So that knowledge can puff up even when you, even spiritual knowledge, things you think you know more things than others. Well, scripture said, and we read these things yesterday, if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. 1 Corinthians 8 and 2. Moreover, he says also in Romans chapter 12, this same Romans chapter 12 that we just read, he says also in verse 3, I say, you know, through the grace that's given unto me to every one of you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, that's spiritual pride right there. You know, why would you think more highly of yourself than you ought to think? You know, you think you're better than somebody else. You know, you're the one that has the oracles of God. You're the ones that have the revelation. Others don't know what you know. Well, you know, but think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we begin to see these things. Now, Jesus said the things that are highly esteemed among men, in Luke 16 and 15, they are an abomination to God. Now, abomination is a strong word. I mean, something that he hates, something that's repulsive to him. You know, I mean, you can't even look at it. You know, but these are the things that we highly esteem. What are those things? Well, money, position, fame, you know, acclaim, and all of that, you know. And, you know, these are the things that we highly esteem, you know, and so on. And people love the praise of men, you know, that also brings the pride, you know. Some people love to give and to receive flattery, and that brings the pride of life. I'm calling out these things, so let's take note. You know, flattery, you know, Jesus said, beware when people will flatter you and say, you know, flamboyant things about you, which are not true, and even if they were. He said, look, this is what they used to do to the false prophets as well. You know, so Jesus is warning us about these things. You know, don't even relish or enjoy this flattery. and the praise of men. Jesus warned about the praise of men. And he said, well, you have your reward. Now, people who do things in order to be praised, that's a pride of life. That's spiritual pride as well. You know, people, Jesus warned about, you know, you can read all of it in Matthew chapter 6 when he was talking about the things that people do and how they do them. How do some people pray? Well, they stand in the corners of the streets and in synagogues and everywhere and pray with a loud voice so that people may hear them, so that they may be seen of men. Well, you know, when anytime we do something to be seen of men, you know, that's secret pride, because we want, you know, that recognition. You know, Jesus said, you got to empty yourself, except a man take up his cross and deny himself and follow me. He can't even get in there in the kingdom. You know, so these things about, you know, what we want to hear from people, you know, how they might praise us. And even if you did something good and the people began to praise you, you should immediately return all the glory to God. That's how you defeat that thing. Otherwise, it'll creep in there. You know, before you know it, get into their head. You know, we read the story of Herod in, you know, Acts chapter 12 yesterday or the other day. I think it was yesterday. You know, and, you know, when he gave his powerful, powerful speech, it was an oration actually, and it was great. And he moved the people, and the people said, wow. This is the voice of a God. Well, and the thing got into his head. Well, it didn't end very well for him. You know, so that was something. He listened to the praise of the people and let it get into his head. And he did not give the glory to God. So the angel of the Lord smote him as an example. Now, we saw the one where it wasn't even any from anybody. It was from within himself. So we see it can come from people and it can come from within. In the case of Nebuchadnezzar, it was from within. He looked around and looked at, you know, the things that he has accomplished, you know, and looked at the hanging gardens and looked at all the great things, looked at everything, said, wow, you know, isn't this great Babylon that I have built, you know, and he thought he did it too. You know, I mean, listen to how he said it. Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? I mean, you see how many times he referred to himself in that one short sentence. You know, well, the Bible says, while the word was still in his mouth, Daniel 4, 29 and 30, well, the judgment was given upon him. You know the rest of his story. So it can come from without. It can also come from within. Now, when we enjoy the praise of men to the point where we are secretly looking for it, you know, that can be the pride of life. You know, and we've got to be careful. Even spiritual pride can come in when we say things about the Lord. We talk about our giftings. We even sometimes when we give a testimony, you know, the Lord asked me one time, he said, is it for my glory? I said, but of course. And the Lord asked again, is it for my glory? You know, there are some times, and that particular time when the Lord was asking me that, what was in my heart? What was I praying about? Well, it was years ago when we started our local church here in, you know, here in our city. And I was praying about it. You know, attendance, you know, was dwindling at a point. And, you know, I thought, well, by now the church should have grown to this amount and so on, this number or whatever. And I began to pray, you know, for church growth and so on. And the Lord said, well, is it for my glory? And I'm like, but of course, you know. You know, it is the glory of the king of that multitude of people. And the Lord said, is it for my glory? You know, so I had to do a self-exam and say, well, is it really for his glory? I mean, So, you know, if you want the church to be full, or you want to have hundreds and hundreds of people, what is it really for? Is it really for his glory? Or is it for, you know, a personal fulfillment, an ego that, you know, well, we build the church from scratch up and, you know, from nothing. And we've done this and we've done that and so forth. You know, it could be sneaking in there, you know, and, you know, sometimes even when we come out and talk about the things that the Lord has done, well, is it for my glory? Are you saying it for my glory? Did you give it all back to him? Or did we allow something to sneak in there? You know, I mean, you might be the one that's always testifying about, you know, how you prayed, how you commanded faith, and things happened. Well, is it for my glory, saith the Lord? Or is it just so that people could know that you have a lot of faith, or you have the power to pray, or this and that? You know, I mean, sometimes even in the things that we do for the Lord, you may be a good prayer warrior. You may have been called into, you know, a soul winner, and you do these things. And, you know, we may do some things, you know, around the church. You may be, you are in the ministry of helps. I mean, you love to help people and so on. You know, I mean, whatever it is that we are doing, you know, we better be careful before the pride will sneak in there. The moment that we become self-centered, then that's pride. If you do something and people don't acknowledge you, well, then that's pride. Because still, we're self-centered. You know, and all of that, you know, and there's just many things. And, you know, some people, all we want is acknowledgement. Well, to some degree, that may be okay. That may be healthy. Little children, they want that. They want praise of their parents. And we encourage them by acknowledging them and so forth. You know, all of that is good to some degree. But Paul said, look, when I was a child, I did childish things. You know, now that I'm grown up, I put away childish things. You know, some of us have not put away childish things. We're still, you know, we're grown, but we're still doing the same childish things that we were doing when we were a child. You know, if you were a child, you know, you're still, you know, now that you're grown, you're still doing the same things. You still pout, you know, and so forth. You still do this and that. If somebody did this and so on, you know, all of those, the, you know, as long as our self is in the picture, it's still pride. We got to nail that flesh to the cross. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, yesterday I alluded to this. Let me tell you a couple of quick stories. I don't want this to be a long lesson today. A couple of quick stories in the Bible. And this one is powerful stuff. You know, I could be really subtle. I mean, you know the story of Moses, right? And we talked about his story, you know, several times. We alluded to it. In Numbers 20, you saw the, you know, the thing that he did. What the Lord said to Moses, you know, what he should do when the people, you know, had no water. And you saw what Moses already did. I mean, did. But let's just read some of it. You know, there was no water, we're told, for the congregation. Numbers 20 and verse 2. So the Lord gave instruction to Moses. Now, remember, the people were complaining. It would have been better if we had died, you know, here and so forth. You know, and why did the Lord bring us out into this wilderness? That our cattle should die here. And they were complaining and so forth. You know, so when Moses and Aaron went to pray to the Lord gave them instruction. Remember, we talked about instruction the other day, last week or so, you know, when we're talking about obedience. We talked about perfect obedience, which is you must do exactly as he says. Not, don't interpret it one way or the other. The example we gave them was the story of Saul, who's, you know, Lord gave instructions what to do with the Amalekites. He did some part of it and didn't do others. And he said, well, I have done the commandment of the Lord. And Saul said, I mean, Samuel said, no. You know, and we talked about rebellion. We talked about disobedience and so on. And you can go and listen back to those. You know, so instruction from the Lord must be followed exactly. Take the rod. Gather thou the assembly together. thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye to the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So shalt thou give the congregation and their beasts to drink. Well, that's what the Lord said. You know, but in the meantime, you know, these people have been getting on Moses' nerves. All of their complaining, always, you know, getting on his case. You should have left us in Egypt. You know, I mean, you imposed this thing upon us. You told us we have to come out of there. We were doing better when we were in Egypt, they said. Well, of course, we know they were not. But, you know, that's what they said. You are constantly on Moses' case. You should have just left us there. You know, are there no graves in Egypt that we should die there? And so, I mean, they were always complaining that we should come and die here in the wilderness and many things. They're complaining about so many. So this thing was getting under his skin. You know, I mean, it's like, so finally, I mean, and again, some elements of pride in this story, even though, you know, Moses was saying, well, Moses, this, you know, he thought of himself as the meekest man of the earth. Well, I don't know, you know, but he, you know, there's elements of pride in here. He said, look, when he would do what he thought the Lord told him to do, he did not do it like the Lord said. The Lord says, speak to the rock. Well, he already struck the rock once before. And this time around, God gave a different instruction. Don't assume that it is the same as what you said before. Listen to the instruction carefully. You know, I love how David, you know, he used to do that with the Philistines and so forth. Shall I go up? The Lord said, go up. He'll go up. The next time the Philistines come back, but they always come back. And then David did not assume in his mind that the Lord said, go up last time. He went up again. Shall I go up? The Lord said, no. Don't go up. But he gave him strategy. This is how you're going to do it. This time around, go around here, do this, do that, wait for the moving of the spirit on the mulberry trees, and etc. You know, and then you do this, you know. So, but Moses here, he already, you know, they've touched something in him that's already angry because of all their constantly coming against him. He's already angry, you know, and now he comes and says, you know, to the people, you know, the Lord said, you know, you saw what the Lord said, but is that what Moses did? Absolutely not. Moses lifted up his hand with his rod. He smote the rock twice. Lord said, speak to the rock. You know, and of course, the water did come out of the rock, you know, and so forth, you know, but, you know, before he brought that out, look at the statement he made. Hear now, you rebels. What are you calling them rebels for? You know, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Really? Seriously? It's not you, Moses. It's not Aaron either. It's not even the rod that's in your hand. It is the empowerment of God's instruction when you follow it that brings something to pass. You know, but the mercy of God overruled in this case, you know, brought the water nonetheless, even though he didn't do it right, but he suffered dearly for it. You know, so this one thing, Lord will tell him later on, you know, because you have not believed me. Now, of course, Moses in his mind is thinking, well, you know, I brought the water out. You know, that's faith. But the Lord said, no, you did not believe me. See, now, ladies and gentlemen, if the Lord tells us something, we don't do it exactly like he said. Even if we think we got the results, we still did not believe the Lord because you did not sanctify it. The Lord said to him, look, you did not sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Neither did you sanctify my word. That's the way I like to say it to myself these days. I say, Lord, help me to sanctify your word in my heart. But see, the Lord says it one way, I got to do it exactly like that. And they didn't, you know. And so the Lord told him, well, You're going to pay for it. And he paid for it. You know, of course, you know, neither him nor Aaron get in there. You know, so, but let me tell you another thing in the life of this Moses. This supposedly meek man, the meekest upon the face of the earth. Let's read what he said, and I alluded to this yesterday, in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And let's see the subtleness of this spiritual pride at times. You know, here is Moses, and we know, you know, we know that the Lord will give this, you know, prophetic declaration, you know, to Moses, and he would speak it. And we know he was speaking about the Christ because it was prophetic, because the scriptures would even eventually, you know, talk about Christ. In Acts chapter 3, you read, you know, from about verse 22 and so on, we'll see this same thing that Moses is going to say here in Deuteronomy 18 and 15. In Deuteronomy 18 and 15, well, Moses said, "The Lord thy God shall raise unto thee a prophet," the capital P, "from the midst of thee and of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him shall ye hearken," you know, and so forth. Well, how do we know it was about the Christ? Well, if you are reading it there, you may not have thought it was about the Christ. But if you go and read Acts chapter 3 on the day of Pentecost, Peter, the powerful, powerful sermon there. And he said in verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitutions of all things, whom God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For even Moses said," so he's talking about Christ, "even Moses spoke of this Christ, saying, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, and you shall hear him whatsoever things he said." Well, if Moses was speaking about that Christ, which prophetically it will come, and the world would he say like unto me? Listen, I've always said that, look, when God gives a message, it is divinely inspired. The messages of God through the mouth of his servants and prophets are divinely inspired, whether written or spoken. But the delivery is human. You know, God may give the message. How you deliver it is completely human. Well, you know, Moses was given this inspiration. Well, but I see this phrase here that says, like unto me. Well, that's okay. That may be okay. But here's the deal. If you compare yourself with the Christ, right, then, well, you're going to have to be like the Christ. You're going to have to be perfect like him. And then there will be zero tolerance. You know, so, you know, there can be subtleness in how these things can come in. You know, and all of a sudden, he's going to talk about the Christ and say, like unto me. I mean, Christ, like unto you. Well, that's my spiel on it, my take on it. Some people may not read it that way, but, you know, these things can creep in any which way. The disciples, James and John, Jesus called them sons of thunder at one time because they wanted to call down fire and so forth. One time, their mother came and said, look, you know, they were thinking about it too. They probably asked their mom, speak to Jesus, I don't know. These are my children. Grant that they will sit on the right and on the left, you know, and so forth in thy kingdom. My goodness. And of course, the remaining 10 disciples, they were moved with indignation when they heard that thing. And they began to, you know, say that. I mean, why in the world must you think that that is reserved for you? You know, Jesus told the story And we read it in two places yesterday, where he said, look, when you are bidding to a party, don't take the biggest room. It's also in the book of Proverbs. We read all that yesterday. But take the lowest room, and then, you know, you can be promoted. You know, don't set yourself up for being disgraced. Now, these people, you know, they wanted the chiefest room in the kingdom. again, that's spiritual pride. You know, and they were talking among themselves when they were coming from one particular place. We say, well, who's going to be the greatest among us? Well, that's spiritual pride. Well, what does it matter who's the greatest? Christ is the great one. And he's the one, you know, that called us, you know, to walk for him. And he's the one that gave us this privilege to walk in his vineyard, to do the thing. Why was it important who should be the greatest? You know, well, that's pride. I mean, this pride was, you know, manifesting throughout the scriptures. And the people that are closest to God, like Moses, like this James and John, you know, like all these people, you know. And look, before you know it, we can, you know, begin to think of ourselves as something, you know, when we are nothing. You know, I mean, even in some of the writings of Paul, you know, at one time we see, you know, that he said, even though he tried to put a disclaimer on it, well, but you see what he began to say. Well, he said, look, well, allow me. Allow me, since you guys like to glory in flesh and glory in man. Well, allow me. Let me glory a little. Why? You already know that he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Even though you put a disclaimer on it, why would you do it? But he said, look, let me glory a little. You know, I am of the stock of, you know, Benjamin. You know, I schooled under the school of Gamaliel. I did this and I did that. You know, I am this, I am that. Even though he put a disclaimer on it and said, look, you know, let me do this. You know, the scripture says, answer not a fool in his own ways, lest you be like him. But sometimes answer the fool like a fool, lest he be conceited and think he's anything. So sometimes you got to give it to the fool. So Paul is trying to give it to them here. Look, you guys like to boast and so forth. Well, let me tell you something. But ladies and gentlemen, there was a little element in there as well, you know. You know, another time he said, look, you know, in as much as I'm the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. What office? You know, what are you magnifying? You know, now the Lord, he gave you, he put you in that position, you know. So, you know, be careful what you say, you know. Now, these things are in the scriptures. The scripture reports things just the way they are. You know, good, bad, ugly, whatever. It's left for us to make the discernment, you know, and so forth. Now, what am I saying today? I am saying that this thing can happen to the best of us. So we got to be careful about this spiritual pride. But let's see how Jesus did it. Jesus said, look, you know, in John chapter 13, we see what he did. After they had eaten, he took towel, water, and began to wash their feet. You know, and of course, when it came to Peter, Peter said, well, you never wash my feet. And Jesus said, well, if I don't wash your feet, you are none of mine. And so, if that's the case, then wash my head, my hands, my everything. He said, don't worry about it. If I wash your feet, you're already clean. And you are clean, but not all of you, because he knew the one that would betray him. You know, but then he turned around after he was done, showing them that little exercise. It was a demonstration. He said, okay, you guys see what I've done. You call me Lord and Master, and you say, right, for so I am. But I being loyal, Lord and Master, if I can do this, I'm showing you what you should do. Praise the Lord. Now, how many of our spiritual, well, actually, let me say religious leaders today can actually wash the feet of their, you know, people in their congregation? How many? You know, and then, you know, the religious leaders today, they want to be served. And Jesus said, look, you know, the Son of Man came not to minister, but to minister. Not to be served, but to minister. Now, this word minister, as part of the spiritual pride, we have changed it to mean something else. You know, it's now a title, actually. You know, it's a title now. Whereas, you know, in the scriptures. It was just something that people did when they are, when you are in service to others. It's called minister, you know. But now it's a title, and we enjoy it. And, you know, even for people who don't want to take the title of pastor or prophet or this, they take the title of minister. They say, well, I'm a minister. And it is good. I mean, it's good to give honor to whom honor is due. You know, I have no issue there, you know, but, you know, we just got to be careful how these things might sneak in. You know, the Son of Man, Jesus said, he called himself that all the time, you know. He would always, you know, put himself out there to serve, not to be served. And many places, it's in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. It's in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. You know, it's everywhere. And look at the story I just read in John 13, you know, of what he did. He said, look, the Son of Man did not come, you know, to be served, but to serve and to give himself a ransom for many. Matthew 20 and 28, you know, and he also said the same thing in Mark 10, you know, this. And we should learn, Jesus said, learn of me. Learn of me. But do we? Well, we should. Learn of me. Mark 10, 45, he said the same thing. Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, which means to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And now when people do not want to serve, pride has entered in. Even in the home, let me talk about that for just a few minutes. Pride! We read yesterday, pride is what leads to contention. You know, pride in the home, the husband is proud. Because he say, well, I'm the head of the family. The Bible never said that. You know, that's a myth that needs to be debunked. You know, scripture never said that. The man is the head of the family. The scripture said the man is the head of the woman. And Christ is the head of the man. So in that hierarchy, that makes Christ the head of the family. Yeah, not, you know, so the man say, well, I'm the head. You know, he wouldn't lift a finger to help his wife. The spiritual, you know, pride in the one side, but also, you know, social, economic, and familial pride comes into our lives. The woman also can be proud. When the scripture says, you know, reverence your husband. You say, well, you know why? I can't reverence you. You say, son of Belial. He said, look, you learn from Sarah, who called her husband Lord. You know, how many women today refer to their husband like that? You know, say, well, learn, you know, pride gets in and everybody, you know, proud. And, you know, even in our relationships with people, pride, the pride of life, you know, kind of, what can he talk to me like that? You know, what is he, who does he think he is? How would say that to me? And then you boil over. And how did they, why would they do that to me? I mean, I've done this and I've done that. And look at how they repaid me. Well, you get boiled over for nothing. Sometimes it's just also pride. It's hidden in there. You know, we need to, you know, wash ourselves clean of all of that. And how do we do it? It's hard to do because pride was the very first sin that entered into the world through Lucifer. We read all those scriptures yesterday. So it's been there. You know, and Lucifer knew that it brought him his downfall, and he wants to take as many people with him as possible. So he'll sneak in things there. Even when he came to Jesus, he said, look, you know, let me remind you that you are the Son of God. You know, so he would appeal to that thing, in the inner sense of dignity, you know. Hey, you know, I am the Son of God. I can do all these things. I can command stone. I can do this. You can appeal to that, you know. And, you know, you can appeal to that. And he did. He tried to appeal to that in Christ. Christ defeated him by the word. Well, appeal to another thing too. Say, look, I tell you what, you know, I mean, God has already said he will give his angels charge over you, you know, so if you jump down over here, you know, you can have a testimony. I mean, you can say, look, I jumped from the cliff and I landed, no problem. You can give you a testimony because of what God said he would do. Can appeal to that. You know, sometimes our faith exploits and the testimonies of the faith exploits might just be pride, you know. Now, you did the thing quite all right. And it is written in the annals of God's books. But when you say and talk about it, is it for my glory, saith the Lord? How you talk about it. You know, or you say, hey, look, listen. You know, all these kingdoms of the world, they're mine. And I give them to you. It can have, you know, yeah, you also want to own these things and so forth. A pride of life, you know. And Jesus, every time he defeated him by the word. And there are many ways, I can go on and on, subtle ways that devil may appeal to our ego even. And today, let me also warn those of you that like to give flattery, be careful. Because you may be sending the person you are flattering down a slippery slope. You're not doing them any good. You know, when you come and flatter them and say, oh, you are great, and so forth. You know, that's what they said to Herod. And, you know, see how it ended with him. You know, so be careful now how you do that. You know, I remember there's one particular gentleman, when I come down from the stage at the church, he would walk up and say to me, "My, that was a great message, you know." And he would begin to say things. After I did about two or so times, I was grieved in my spirit. I called him and said, "Look, enough of that already, you know." And yeah, thank God for the message, but enough of that, you know. And then one other time after I said that, he come up to me and he says, then he cautioned himself because he remembered what I said, you know, because look, if you're not careful, get to your head. And once it gets to your head, pride sets in there. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We read all that yesterday. Let me quickly tell us something that Hezekiah did, which, you know, might again have been prideful, you know. And we can read this in Isaiah chapter 39, you know. There was a king of Babylon in the time of Hezekiah, you know, that actually, you know, sent a letter to Hezekiah because he heard that Hezekiah was sick and recovered. You know, and he also sent gifts and people to Hezekiah. So here we go, Isaiah 39, you know, and verse 2. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor. And all that was found in his treasures, there was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, and Hezekiah showed them not. You know, so as Hezekiah was showing off his house, there might have been some pride in it because the prophet came and spoke to him and said, well, you know, what said these men and from where did they come? And Hezekiah said, well, these have come from a far country unto me, you know, and from even Babylon. And he said, well, what is it they've seen in thine house? And Hezekiah said, all that is in my house they have seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Well, these were treasures that the Lord gave you. Should not have been showing it to the enemy. You know, cast not your pearls before swine and so forth. Give not that which is holy to dogs. And Hezekiah, the word of the Lord from Isaiah said, you know, behold, the days come that all that is in thy house, you know, and the one that your fathers have laid up to this day, which you trusted in, and all those riches, they shall be carried into Babylon, and nothing shall be left. You know, and so forth. So, you know, sometimes also when we're showing off our goods, there may be some subtle pride in it. So let's be careful. Praise the Lord. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to leave today's lesson there. I can go on and on, but, you know, the thing is, I wanted to drop some spotlight on areas where pride can come in. I'm sure you can fill in the blanks. And when I open up the room in a bit, I'm sure there will be many other things that people can say, but not said from my part. Just to let us see that, look, this thing is a dangerous thing. And last but not the least, I want to talk for just a minute on Revelation 3:11. I said that in passing yesterday towards the end of the room. I'll talk about it again today. You know, Jesus said, look, let no man take your crown. And the way I said it yesterday was, well, let no person's actions cause you to lose your crown. And I'm going to still say it the same way today. Now, you know, what might those actions be? Some areas where we can lose our crown is, you know, somebody might do something that stings you, and then you try to sting them back. You might lose your crown for that, you know. But since we are on the subject of pride, let me tell you another way where, you know, this, what somebody might do, might cause you to lose your crown. I've already said it, you know, when people give you, you know, accolades and praise and these things, you know, are you desirous of it? The scripture says, look, be not desirous, Philippians chapter 2, of vain glory. Glory that doesn't belong to you. That's why it's called vain. It doesn't have, you know, the glory of God in it, then it's vain. Anything that does not have the glory of God in it is vain. And that's why, you know, Solomon said, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Well, somebody was asking a question in our church on Sunday and say, well, what is vanity? You know, I just listened to everybody say that thing. I didn't say a word. But for me, vanity is anything that does not have the glory of God in it. And it's not, you know, according to his purpose to bring about his work. You know, it's vanity. You know, so, Philippians chapter 2, he says here that, look, be not desirous. You know, let nothing, rather, he said, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but lowliness of mind, esteem one another. You know, so, you know, when we think of, you know, glory, yeah, you know, I love to hear how great I am, you know, and so on. Well, you know, that's one way that pride can sneak in. So get your antennas up and be careful on how, you know, these things can sneak in. Yeah, that's our lesson today. You know, don't let these things sneak in. Galatians 5 and 26. Do not be desirous of vain glory. You know, that's already pride there. You know, why would you want it? You know, what is it that you've done? You know, other than what the Lord did. We read yesterday where it says, you know, in 1 Corinthians 4 and talk about, look, why are you boasting of anything? As if, you know, you are the source of that thing. You know, it came from God. And if you received it from God, then why then are you boastful of it? You know, so let's be careful. Who maketh thee to differ from one another? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? 1 Corinthians 4 and 7. Now, if you did receive it, then why did you glory as if you have not received it? You know, so balance all these things out. You know, now it's good to be appreciative of one another. The Bible says, be ye thankful. It's not only God that we need to be thankful to. You know, we can be thankful to people as well, you know. People do, somebody does something to you, be thankful, be courteous, you know, be thankful, give honor to whom honor is due. All of this is good, but you know, it must be tempered, you know, with knowledge and understanding that don't let it get out of hands. Yeah. Give honor to whom honor is due. Give honor to the king. Give honor to your parents. Give honor to, you know, in honor preferring one another. You know, and so forth. You know, all of that is good. Nothing wrong with that as long as it's done right. And the person that is receiving the honor must immediately return it to God. That's it. Give it all back to me, saith the Lord. Now I'm going to pray over the room and turn it over for discussions. Father, I thank you for the today's roundup on the subject of pride, the sin of pride. It can be subtle, and sometimes it can be blatant, and sometimes it can be subtle. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that the Holy Spirit will help us have our antennas up to be able to discern this thing when it tries to creep in. Praise God. And then being self-willed, the Holy Spirit just reminded me, being self-willed is also a, you know, an element of that subtle pride. You know, you just want to do things your way. Some people say, well, you know, I have a very strong will. Well, yeah, maybe. I'm a strong character. Or maybe. Maybe it's pride too. You know, I mean, we are so strong. I mean, look, James chapter 4 verse 17 says, James chapter 3, rather, wisdom that is from above, you know, is first pure, James 3 and 17, then peaceable, then gentle, and then easy to be entreated. If you are not easy to be entreated, you're so, you know, full of yourself sometimes, you're so hard in your ways, you have a strong will all the time, you know. Well, I used to be like that. You know, I've been learning over the years. Look, you don't always have to be right. That, again, is pride, you know, that can be in there. You say, I'm strong-willed. Well, maybe it's pride that's making you like that. You know, the true wisdom from God is easy to be entreated, and it's gentle, and it's peaceable. May the Lord help us to grow these characteristics of true wisdom and true character of Christ in us, to be peaceable, to be gentle, to be pure, to be easy, to be entreated, to be full of mercy, to be, have good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. Thank you, Father, for all these things. Now I speak as unto wise men and women. The Lord grant you understanding in the things that we have spoken. And the Lord enrich our lives to be more and more like the Christ. But our part is for us to crucify the flesh, put him on the altar daily. Paul said, I die daily. I pray that all that we have spoken today and in yesterday and in this whole series, that the Lord will bring it to our remembrance when it is needed, that it may help us to shape our lives more like the Christ. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.